Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios, man. We got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on Hump Day. Yeah. I mean, you are halfway to the weekend, my friends. And listen, we're going to get you all the way to go home time on a Friday, but there are things we have to do in between now and then. One of the things we always do on a Wednesday afternoon is a little something-something we call the Grand Council, where I bring in some of my brethren in talk radio. Today, we got a little bit of a caveat. We got a proxy. We got a stand-in. But let me call the roll. You'll see who's here. From 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Cumulus Broadcasting up yonder in Huntsville, also does a gig with Yellowhammer, also does some TV stuff. The dynamically derogatory denizen of demeaning demagoguery, Dale Jackson, are you there?
Just what I needed, more nicknames, I love it.
Well, you need that one on a bumper sticker, but the words are too big. All right, we got a Dale Jackson. Let me go over here. Jeff Poor not being here this week, we have a stand-in. So, publisher of the Trustful Tribune, oftentimes known as the Secretary of Common Sense, the pugnacious publisher of Perilous Punditry, Scott Buttram, are you there?
I am present.
You are, and I'm glad. That means we got a quorum. Hit it, man.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ta-da. Ta-da. All right, fellas, you know the deal. We ask questions and we see what the group thinks about the answers. So I'm going to go to Dale Jackson first. Mr. Jackson, pray tell, what do you have a question for?
Okay, we've seen what's going on in Bibb County. It's a monstrous event.
Yeah.
We are also seeing the Epstein situation and Donald Trump's handling of that, just dragging that story out further again. Steve Marshall comes out and says, hey, you guys in the legislature need to revisit the death penalty for child rapists like they do in Florida. What legislator is going to stand on the floor of the legislature and say, no death penalty for these guys who are keeping kids in the dungeon?
All I know is, Dale, you're talking inside of a tin can right now. Your voice is like so muffled we can barely hear you. Can you?
Okay.
Yeah, did you pull your hoodie down over your face? So
you want to know whether we think the death penalty is the right thing for child rapists? Is that what you're saying? Did we lose him? Did he just go away?
I think what he was saying is, you know, what legislator would stand on the floor of the House or the Senate and oppose a bill giving a death sentence?
Go ahead, take it and run then, and brother. I'll chime in. I just did a whole segment on this a minute ago, but you go ahead and take it and run. What do you think about that?
Well, I would say I agree with Dale on that. I do not think there is a legislator that would vote against that bill. And this may even be a bill, Phil, that our brethren on the Democrat side would cross the aisle and vote for as well. At least some of them, I believe, would do that. But here's what we need to remember. The House passed that bill last year, and it went to the Senate, where, like most, I won't say most everything, but so many other bills died because of the most incredible mismanagement of the Senate we have seen in probably the last 10 years.
Yeah. I mean, I could think of some people like Vivian Figures, Senator Figures, who's opposed to the death penalty no matter what it is. I could see where she had to say, I will stick with my guns on this, but I think what happened is bad. But I agree. I mean, I think I feel fairly confident if this bill gets traction. The question we got to look at is 1819 reported, and I don't know where the ruling is. They said the Supreme Court has ruled in the past that federal law would prohibit the implication or the implementation of a death penalty for a non-death crime. So I've never seen that, but I've never had to investigate it either. I don't know. Dale, are you back?
I am back, and I would love to see the Supreme Court take that up again.
Well,
Dale, when the sponsors of this bill when it passed the House last year and died in the Senate, didn't the sponsors say they were doing this bill to get it to the Supreme Court? They wanted to challenge that?
Oh yeah, they did. I think they said that again this time too. April Weaver said that, I believe, in the quote in the 1819 article that came out yesterday.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, Dale, your own question. So what you're saying is you want to see it. You want to see it run, and you want to see it go to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I want to see both, and I want to see someone try to stand up and say no. I want to see who's going to stand up in front of it before an election.
Yeah, I think you. I mean, I think the bottom line is they get this bill to the floor. Ain't nobody can avoid this one. You've got to vote yes on this. Absolutely. All right.
Well, head counts are a good thing.
Head counts are a good thing. Don't use the previous roll. Just get her done. Call the roll. Long roll, please, Mr. President. All right. So, what question do you have for us, Mr. Proxy Man Scott Buttram?
Mine comes from a story that 1819 did a good job on it. Dale followed up with one of his Yellowhammer pieces on it. The DHR situation and the child that died in DHR custody. I think 1819, I think Senator Elliott have all been very clear. This is not okay. And siding with DHR instead of taking the position that we are going to investigate this to the nth degree by our governor, I'm not comfortable with it. I'm even more inclined. I'm sorry, I'm kind of answering my own question now. Let me just ask this. Do we think Governor Ivey will do anything about this?
Do we think that Governor Ivey is the one who issued the statement in the first place? I don't know. I mean, so she has become, it's like she's become more tepid as time goes by. But yeah, the response to this situation, this horrible situation, little three-year-old dying in a hot car, which is just awful. And by the way, have they released the name of the person who did it? Has that happened yet?
No,
not to my knowledge.
So what were the conditions? I mean, were they stopping at a store and they forgot to get the baby, or did they park the van and go inside to work? And what do we know about that? I mean, how did this even happen?
They parked the car at their own house.
Oh my gosh.
This is the part of the story that is so, I mean, there's a lot of infuriating here, but this is the one thing. They did the visit for the three-year-old with the father took place, and then the contractor drove to a store, got food, allegedly for her and her family, then went to a, quote, tobacco store, which I think we all know what that really means, I'm guessing, and then went home. And for 5 hours, that kid sat in that car in the blazing sun. And the other person went inside the house. What was she doing in there? I don't know. But should they be running errands with other people's kids in their car?
No,
absolutely not.
No,
and it's just it's absurd. And KID, it's so pathetic because this is such a layup.
Yeah, it is.
All you have to do is say this is absolutely outrageous. We're going to get to the bottom of this. We're going to destroy the people involved. That's all you have to say.
Yep.
And she couldn't even do it.
And she can call on the Attorney General's office. She can call on the Attorney General's office to open an investigation for criminal negligence. That's where we are right now.
Yep.
This is criminally negligent homicide. You had somebody else's child in your care, and you went and ran errands and then forgot the child, probably because you picked up something at the vape shop that made you feel really good, and you got mellow and went inside and took a nap. I mean, no telling.
That's exactly what I think happened.
Wow. Look, Governor Ivey's staff would do her more justice by actually putting her in front of a camera and getting her to say it herself at this point, but I don't know what's going to happen. All right, before I run out of time, let me do one more question. While we're doing local stuff, let's do one more. So the Big Ten mayors in Alabama, for those who don't know, it's exactly what it sounds like. It's the mayors of the 10 largest cities in the state. The Big Ten mayors come out and said they want more of the online sales tax. They're actually, like Tuscaloosa's talking about filing suit because we think we deserve a bigger share. And there's a whole story behind how we passed that when I was in. But the reality is the municipalities were there when we came up with the formula. They bellied up to the trough and they had the League of Municipalities arguing and lobbying on their behalf. And now they want to change the formula because they see money and they just want more of it. Your thoughts on it, Dale, you first.
I think the lawsuit's a stupid idea. If they want to change it, go through your legislators and have them change the map. That's all they got to do. I can't see what the premise of the lawsuit could possibly be unless there's some sort of constitutional issue. And you're the lawyer here, not me, so I don't know. But all the cartel of mayors getting together is not a big surprise that the 10 biggest cities want a population-based cut. That's not a surprise. The way they did it's probably better. And they probably had a huge answer to this. I'm assuming you guys had to do it this way to get it done.
No, they already get it by population. That's just it. Municipalities get a pro rata share, and then the municipalities within that share get divided up by population. And so they already get a, what they want is a larger slice. They want more than what counties get. That's what they want, which is crazy. How about you, Scott? What do you think about it?
Well, I'm a little taken aback. I had no idea that our illustrious leader here was, I just forgot, I guess, that you were in the Senate at that time. And I'm just floored to find out that you were a party to passing this socialistic redistribution of wealth in the state of Alabama and plaguing our cities the way you have. We are actually getting hit square between the eyes in Trussell, Alabama, as are most of the cities in Jefferson County. I do not think this is a money grab in the truest sense. Brick and mortar sales tax collections, which, by the way, supplies 65% of the general fund for the city of Trussell, declined by $3 million after a 10-year, year-over-year increase. All of a sudden, $3 million drop. That is a shot between the eyes. They were very happy when they got the SSUT tax, because it replaced what they had been getting, which is zero. And That we know, the state took their 4%, same as brick and mortar, off the top of the online sales tax, and then tossed the bones to the counties and cities who were happy to get the bones. Now they need the bones to pay the bills. This needs to be changed. Trussell should join the Tuscaloosa lawsuit.
Oh, see, I knew I'd find controversy.
The lawsuit is only a pressure point.
I've seen your tweets, and I pulled this question on purpose. So, yes, I was there. Yes, I was there. And no, it was not socialism. It was called free market. How do we take what's broken and fix it? And then, oh, by the way, everybody come in and we have a big mediated discussion, and we came up with a plan that everybody agreed to. But now they just want more. That's what it boils down to. That's exactly what it boils down to.
Okay, just correct me if I'm wrong on this distribution, but all the money goes into one pot, and then it is redistributed by population. Everybody gets an equal share. That's called redistribution, socialism, put all in there. Instead, and what we're doing is we're pretending people in Trussell, Alabama, spend exactly the same amount of money as people in every other city in Alabama.
No.
That's not the case.
No. That's not the way it works. That's not the way it works.
That's not the way it works. It's distributed on population. Everybody gets the same per head. Yes.
Well, then that means Altoona, Alabama, population 972, doesn't get as much as Trussell does, and that's the way it should be because they have fewer people buying things online.
What it means is that the Republican majority decided to take all of Mountain Brook's expenditures and then spread it out equally among the black
All right, I got to take a break. I ran long on this one because I love controversy. All right, I got Scotty Buttram from the Trussell Tribune and Dale Jackson from WVNN in Huntsville on the air with me, Grand Counsel Phil Williams. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right. All right, we're going back for a very short second round of the Grand Counsel because Scott Buttram spent a long time arguing about why he needs more money. But okay, there's that. Short questions, guys, if you can. Scotty Buttram, what have you got for us?
A very short question. Okay. Jerome Powell. WTH.
Wow. Yes. I think it's definitely time for him to go. I felt like half of that was spite, you know, but he did just have to wind up doing the on-air camera-in-his-face tour with Trump around his multi-billion-dollar new facility, which made him look like an idiot. So he decided, in spite, I guess, to go ahead and keep the interest rates where they are. Dale?
Mm-hmm. No, he should keep the interest rates where they are. Anyway, save Trump from himself. You lower them, inflation's going to go up. You're going to have some problems there, and Trump's spinning that. And for the midterms, Jerome Powell is doing him a favor. Let them have their WWE-style fight if they want to. But they should leave the interest rates right where they are right now.
Dale's been talking to Mo Brooks again. Go ahead, Scott. What do you think?
I would do the same thing Dale would do, but maybe for different reasons. If I'm Trump, I believe Powell's pretty close to the end of his term.
Oh, yeah.
I'm probably going to try to ride that out and not have all the crap he would have to deal with if he removed the Fed chairman. Plus, removing the Fed chairman actually does create issues in the independence of the Fed, or at least the perception of it.
I agree with that part. I definitely do. All right. Question for us, Dale. What do you got?
How long is Donald Trump going to allow this Epstein thing to dominate his presidency? It's Russia all over again. He won't stop talking about it. He says foolish things about it. They love that he won't stop talking about it. How long till it ends?
I mean, I think it's already on the wane, to be honest with you. I don't see it being the big headline grabber that you do. But anyway, what do you think,
Scott? Every story. Oh, my, even today, economic development looking pretty good as Trump tries to hide Epstein scandal.
That's the press. Is that Trump doing it, though? That's what I'm saying. All right, Scott, what do you think?
I think that the press will continue to push it, but I do think it's near its final days because I don't think it's getting traction with Democrat voters.
No, I don't think it is either. I think they're finally realizing that this is all we got. It's not going to stand up. Is it an issue? Yes, but it's not the issue, and people don't put food on their table because of it, and that's where it's going to wind up coming down. All right, last question. Kamala Harris just announced about an hour ago that she is not running for governor of California. Speculation abounds. Will she run for president again? My question is, more likely, is she tone deaf if she runs for president again? Scott, what do you say about Kamala Harris?
I don't care. I don't care.
You're like, whatever. She's not on your radar right now, right?
I think anything she does in terms of running for office is a win for the Republicans.
Oh, there's that. Dale, what do you think?
There's a better chance of Phil Williams being a U.S. attorney or a Supreme Court justice than Kamala Harris ever holding office.
I've got him penciled in on the big court now.
Oh, God. Okay. I love the idea of me wearing robes and then having to face down Ketanji Brown Jackson every day. It's awesome. I like the idea. All right. Appreciate you. Scotty Buttram, publisher of the Trustful Tribune, for being on with us today. Thank you so much for sitting in for Jeff Poore. Dale Jackson, as always, appreciate you. Thank you for working out your phone situation. And just little old me, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We are coming up on a hard break right now. We'll come right back and jump right into final dipper of the day. Race baiters and charlatans. Race baiters and charlatans. And what does that got to do, by the way, with selling jeans? Oh, apparently a lot. We'll talk about all of that and more coming up in the final half hour, plus your text messages and plus any phone calls. The number, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text it or call it. Same number for both. Yeah. Okay. Take me to a break, JP. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.